What's up, guys? Bob Busker here at Think Computers, and we are on episode 5 of our weekly tech podcast, where we talk about all the tech news that's gone on this week. We are a review site, so we go over the reviews we did this week and just kind of talk about tech and what's going on. As always, I usually have Derek on the line, and he is here with us, and he actually has a brand new microphone, the same one that I bought for the podcast, so he should sound a little bit better. So what's going on with you, Derek?
Yo, what's up, Bob? What's up, everyone? Yeah, I got the same blue podcast microphone you got, except for mine's white, so it's a little bit better than yours, but, you know.
You know, that's... are you hating on my chrome mic?
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you had the black one.
No, I got the chrome one.
It's, you got the chrome one? Of course you did.
Well, because, like, there's all this... I could have got, like, purple, but...
It would have suited you.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. but, no, I like the chrome one because, I don't know. But, yeah, these blue mics are actually pretty cool. They're just... apparently... I mean, they've been out for a couple years now, but they're apparently the world's first professional USB mic. So they're more or less just plug-and-play. You just plug them in. They don't require any drivers, like they don't come with drivers, it just automatically installs, and it gives you, hopefully, I mean, if you're listening to this, we sound a lot better than, say, using a headset. Like, if you would go back to our first podcast, Derek and I were both using headset microphones, and I feel that we sound better with these microphones. And it's also good for the podcast, so, like, if we want to take a drink or something like that, we don't have a microphone right in front of our face. It's kind of, this microphone sits on the desk, so should be a little bit better.
Yeah, stepping our game up for y'all here.
Yeah, so what have you been up to this week, Derek? You didn't do any reviews.
Work on them, but they just didn't go well this week. I tried.
Well, yeah, Derek's had some issues with some reviews, but hopefully we'll get that all resolved so we can have some of his reviews on the site. But we'll jump right in to our reviews this week, which I did 3. I did a lot this week.
Good work, Bob.
Yeah, but our first review is the Patriot Ignite 480 gig solid state drive. So it's great to see. I think it's how I started this review out. It's great to see competition in the SSD space, because we're seeing a lot of the bigger companies like Samsung, Crucial, Micron, OCZ. Still, you know, they have the backing by Toshiba now. So you see these big companies coming out with all these SSDs at super aggressive pricing, and we don't see a lot of the smaller companies really have the hold that they used to have in the SSD industry. So Patriot hadn't come out with a solid state drive in a couple years, really. So they have a whole line of new SSDs that have just come out, and the Ignite is the highest end solid state drive that they have out right now. It is based on the Phison S10. That's the same thing that the Corsair Neutron XT is based on, that we took a look at last week. All around, it is a very good drive. It has some of the fastest speeds that we've seen on a SATA drive. It is a little bit slower in IOPS than the Neutron XT. That's because it uses different NAND. But all in all, a great drive. Definitely something if you're, you know, building a gaming machine and you want a fast drive for those games. Definitely a drive to take a look at. And it's very aggressively priced. I think the 480 gig is, I think it's $189 right now.
That's like perfect for your first time gamer build. Like, I think you can get by with 480 gigs alone. Like, no extra hard disk drives or anything. I think that's like the perfect amount for your first computer.
Yeah, I mean, 480 gigs, you know, you're looking at, I mean, but the new Battlefield, I forget how big it is, but I mean,
like 40 gigs.
Yeah,
or something.
It's like 40 gigs, and you would say what, like Windows is what, like, I don't know,
20.
Yeah, 20, something like that, and all your other programs. So 480 gigs is definitely a good starter drive, and then obviously you can add on, and especially if you have a lot of other media as far as movies and MP3s and things like that, you can always get a mechanical for very cheap, you know, 1 terabyte, yeah, 2 terabyte mechanical. But these SSDs are coming down in price. It's just crazy to see, you know, compared to even last year, we're seeing the higher end, you know, the higher spectrum of these SSDs come down in price, which of course is always great to see.
Yeah, it's good to see that get driven down and still have good performance at the bottom end.
Yeah, so this isn't, you know, a drive that's made to be cheap as far as price goes. It is a very high performance drive. the Phison S10 is a great platform, and you're going to see a lot of solid-state drives come out this year that are based on that platform. The controller, the Phison S10 controller, is actually, it's a true quad-core controller. So it does everything extremely fast, and all of that. So definitely check out that review if you want to. I go in pretty good detail about what the Phison S10 is all about in that review. So if you want to learn more about it, definitely check that out. But I think, I'm not sure how many drives are out right now that are based on the Phison S10, but I know there's at least two. This, the Patriot Ignite and the Corsair Neutron XT are based on it. And you'll see more come out this year that are based on that, you know, that whole setup. So definitely check that out. And then next up, we have a case review, not from you, Derek, but from the other Derek. And it is the Silverstone Precision Series PS11. That is Silverstone's take on sort of a quiet case, an entry-level case. The case is $50, so we've seen a lot of those this year. This kind of, this time of year, between, you know, right after the holiday is when we see a lot of entry-level cases come out, because, you know, right around Computex time, we'll see the higher-end cases get announced and released and all of that. So we've actually reviewed quite a lot of these more entry-level cases, and I think Silverstone has done a great job on this case. There are a couple issues that Derek did point out in the review, but I think all in all, it is a pretty decent case for $50, and again, it does have some sound dampening qualities to it as well, so if you're looking for that case that, you know, that has that sound dampening and you don't, you know, you don't really don't need this crazy over-the-top case, $50 out of the box, you're good to go.
Yeah, I see this as like a potential media center case. Like, you're not spending a lot of money, but you want it to be quiet. So that's what I see this as.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and it's great to, you know, we've seen all of the companies now that we've known for these crazy high-end cases. They're all coming out with these cases. You know, we assume that that helps their bottom line, and it gives them more of a, you know, a more...
It's just a nice round product lineup.
Yeah, so that's kind of what they've done. And, you know, last week we took a look at Silverstone's KL05, which is a little bit more expensive. I think it's $60.
Yeah, just a step up.
Yeah, and this is a little bit of a step down. But again, this one is the sound dampening and all of that. So that's really...
Yeah, it's kind of a different direction almost.
Yeah, so that is, you know, especially say you're building out some PCs for like an office type setting or something like that, where you don't want them to sound, you know, loud or anything like that. This is a great case for that, you know.
Yeah, that
or
too,
if you're
definitely
building a case for a family member or building a system for a family member or something like that, you know, you don't want to have them turn on the PC and it sounds like it's taking off or anything like that. So
no, don't want to scare them away.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good case. So definitely check out that review if you're interested in that. And then I took a look at a pretty awesome motherboard. I took a look at the ASUS X99A, and that is an X99 motherboard. It's ASUS's most entry-level X99 motherboard, and many people may think, like, oh, it's just their cheap version or whatever. But one thing that I've learned with ASUS, because I've been reviewing their motherboards for quite a long time, is they kind of build from the ground up. So with this motherboard, they packed it with all the features you would want in an X99 motherboard, and then there's even some things that are on there that, you know, a lot of other entry-level X99 motherboards don't have, and ASUS has always done a great job with their motherboards, and, you know, this is under $300, so to get into the X99 platform is quite expensive when it comes to DDR4 and the processor and, of course, all of the motherboards. So this is a great motherboard at a great price. You're getting so many features, you know, so many ASUS exclusive features that you won't find on other motherboards. And then, of course, ASUS has their great BIOS that I love. Extremely easy to use and go through. They have...
Yeah, I feel like they've really stepped up their game on their BIOS.
Yeah, their BIOS is just great. You know, even the change, you know, so this new BIOS that they're using is pretty much the same one that was on their Z97 series, and it is just so fluid. It's so nice. It's not, yeah, I've seen even on the X99 series, I've, you know, of other manufacturers, I've seen BIOSes that are kind of sluggish and slow, and they're still like hard to find things, and like,
Yeah.
you know.
Even with all the graphical user interface, they're still like somehow managing to hide features. I don't know if they're just the teams aren't working together or what, but yeah, I know what you mean.
So this is, you know, and another thing that's great about Asus motherboards is that they come with Asus's AI Suite, which is their software package that allows you to really tune your system and do all the things that a lot of other manufacturers you can only do in the BIOS, but this is all in Windows too. So if you're a new user or you're kind of afraid to go in the BIOS or do certain things like that, that's all part of it. So that's just the, you know, if you're buying an Asus motherboard, you know you're going to get that experience. You know you're going to get the great software package. And, you know, this motherboard was great. It performed great. And again, the price is under $300. So it's a great motherboard if you're looking to get into the X99 platform at a good price and still have the quality, you know, and all of that. It's a really good motherboard. And of course, you have things like you have SATA Express, you have M.2 slot, you know, you have
All
every.
the high-end features on a entry-level board.
USB 3.0, you know, two USB 3.0 headers, and you know, it's a good all-around board. I can't really say that much bad about it just because, you know, that's what Asus has always brought to the table when it comes to all of their boards, and they build up, you know. So if you're looking for a more super high-end feature, it's going to be on one of their higher-end motherboards, but everything is built from this base design and built up from there. So the base design, which is the X99A, pretty much has everything that you would want on the X99 platform. So definitely check that review out if you're looking for an X99 motherboard. That is a great, like I said, a great motherboard at a great price. And then finally this week I took a look at the Luxa 2 LaVie-D Bluetooth headphones. So this is a basic set of Bluetooth headphones, over-the-ear headphones, that will work with any Bluetooth device. They sound great. They feel great. They're very comfortable. I wore them for like 4 hours one night when I was writing reviews and getting stuff done. And they, you know, a lot of times with headsets, they'll be comfortable for a first hour or a couple hours, but after that, they, you know, the headband part will start to kind of hurt your head, and around your ears will start to hurt. And I didn't have that issue with these. They're pretty lightweight. They have a fold flat design too, so the ear cups actually fold flat, so you can like easily throw this in a laptop bag or a backpack or something
Oh,
like that.
that's really nice.
The only real issue I had with these were, okay, so it is a Bluetooth headset, so they actually do include a microphone that's on the ear cup, and while people could hear me, they could actually hear themselves as well.
Oh.
I guess that's just because the microphone is located on the ear cup, which is, you know,
So it's getting the speaker is just directing right into the
yeah,
microphone.
so that was the issue that I had, but I don't feel that a lot of people are going to be using this primarily for calls, you know what I mean?
No, not likely.
All of
How was the sound
the
quality?
sound quality is good. It's obviously it's not super high end, but the sound quality is good. You know, you can listen to music all day. You can, and like I said, I took calls on it, and everybody sounded clear and fine, and all of that.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, it's I think it's $50,
Yeah,
$49.99.
$50, yeah.
Yeah, and the ear cups actually go, they're designed to go over your ears. So while it's not a sound canceling headset, but when you have those ear cups that go over your ears, it gives you that more immersive experience.
Yeah, cuts out more of the ambient noise around you.
Yeah, and all of the controls are on the headset itself too. So like volume up, volume down, play pause, back and forward are actually on the headset. So, you know, this is great because like I usually keep my phone on the charger like all the time. And if I want to go in the other room or something like that, I can easily get up, go in the other room, you know, turn the volume up, turn the volume down on the headset itself, rather than say like on my phone or whatever.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So that is all of our reviews for this week. Definitely check them out. And now we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, which you picked this build out. The build is called Big Lee and Lee. It's by Low Fat. And it's based on what's a pretty awesome case in itself is the Lee and Lee PC-A77F, which is a big full tower case. I forget when it came out. I think it came out in like 2010-ish.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of an older case.
Yeah, but it's one of those iconic Lian Li cases. We all know them. If you've been in this scene for, I mean, Lian Li cases have been around for a long time, and it's great to see. You know, not Lian Li hasn't released that many higher end cases lately, but it's great to see somebody do a mod in one of these older cases, and he just did a great job. You know,
super clean.
Yeah, super clean build. It's not one of those crazy over the top builds. Derek and I were talking about this earlier. It's not one of those.
He didn't mod it. He didn't cut a ton of metal. He didn't go crazy with the saw.
Yeah, it's just a super clean, like, he painted the inside all matte black, and it just looks really great. You know, it's a super, super clean, like, all of the cabling is just, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I don't have that type of time.
No, man, I would be throwing things. Like, I've done sleeving, and sleeving is the devil. It's horrible. Some people love it, but it's just, it kills your fingers, and I don't know. You just have to be that kind of person that can just sit there and, like, grind it out, essentially.
Yeah.
And to get your cables trained like he has here is just hours and hours of fixing cables. And it's hard to pick a build with, like, better trained cables. He did a really good job with the cables.
It's just so clean. Like, I don't know. And, like, he... if you go to the article on the site, you'll see, like, he has pictures of, like, the back of the case, how he's run all the cables, and it's just, like, it's just so clean. Like,
yeah, that's what's almost more, it's almost more impressive than the front.
Yeah, like, that back part where he has all the cables running is just crazy. Another cool thing he did two cool things. One, he repolished all of the blocks, like, all of the CPU block and the GPU block, which make them look just so much better, I feel.
Yeah, EK didn't release a polished version of those blocks I'm not sure if they've even gone back to a polished version. I think they have now, but so for if you're using those or if you bought them at that time, you had to do that your own polishing. So
yeah, so he did that, and another cool thing was that he did the rigid tubing, which we've seen on pretty much almost all the builds that we've featured lately, is the rigid tubing for the water cooling, but he actually sleeved the water cooling, which is something I don't think I've ever seen. I'm sure you have.
I've seen it before. He does a good job of it here. I've not seen it done on acrylic, though, which is interesting on the rigid tubing. So it's really cool. It's a twist. And then he still has the EK acrylic pieces, so you still get to see his light blue coolant in there as well.
Yeah, I think the sleeving on the tubing actually matches the sleeving on the power supply quite well.
Yep, I think it's just about spot on.
Yeah.
Other than that, he blacked out, like, everything. Motherboard parts, heat spreaders, you name it, it's been pretty much blacked out. Lian Li is known for, you know, their aluminum chassis, and they don't paint anything. So, like, he did a really good job of, you know, eliminating all of the shine out of this. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I like it. It's kind of like, you know, if you've ever seen somebody who's put, like, a matte black finish on a car or something like that, that's kind of what this is, and it just looks awesome.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So that is pretty much all of our content for the week that we really did, and we'll move into news. The first piece of news is that on the latest AMD Catalyst beta drivers, pretty much the entire Radeon R300 series was kind of revealed, and a lot of people, I mean, we kind of knew what the cards were going to be, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, was that almost all the cards in the series are going to be refreshes, which doesn't really surprise me at all.
No. It's kind of standard operating procedure.
Yeah, so the only new cards will be the R9 390X or the R9 380X. We're not really sure yet. But it's expected that the R9 380X will be a rebrand of the Hawaii series. So that would be the current R9 290X will turn into the R9 380X. And then the R9 390X will be the new Fiji chip. You know,
it kind of makes sense to do this. I mean, you're getting last year's performance at a cheaper price, right? Essentially, that's what happens anyways. But, like, I would just rather see a new chip.
I mean, the thing is that NVIDIA did Maxwell, and they're all new. It's an all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And NVIDIA has done this in the past.
Yeah.
But it's like AMD does this always now, and it doesn't, it's not doing them any favors, that's for sure.
And the thing is that with the, you know, with Hawaii, they brought in new features. So all the other cards that weren't Hawaii didn't get any of these new features, right?
Exactly.
You know, and then with this, I'm sure Fiji and Fiji XT will have some new features that Hawaii and everything down the line won't get.
Yeah, there will be optimizations that they're just not going to have.
They're just not going to have. And it's just like, you know, with NVIDIA, with Maxwell, you know what you're getting, right?
Exactly.
You know, so it would just be nice for once to see AMD say, here's a new architecture. All of the cards are going to be based off this.
Yes.
You know, but they're just not going to do that.
It has to be down to price, honestly, because they have the old silicon and it's, you know, it's put together. I'm sure that's what it has to do with. It's just, it saves them a ton of money to do this.
Yeah,
this
and
way.
They're not really doing that well currently.
No.
So, yeah, it will be interesting. Like I said, again, when we talk about graphics cards, we're going to see a lot of more information come out around Computex time. That'll be exciting time for, you know, if you're waiting to get a new graphics card, there'll be a lot of stuff launching around that time.
Lots will be revealed shortly.
Yes. But moving on to our next news article, which isn't super exciting, but we wanted to talk about it a little bit because Corsair released their Dominator Platinum DDR4 3400 megahertz memory kit. So this is pretty much the highest, the fastest DDR, fastest DDR memory kit that you can buy. It runs at
factory clocks.
Yeah, factory clocked at 3400 megahertz, which is, that's just fast for memory. You know, a lot of times we see people do overclocks and they can get that high, but this is what the kit runs at.
This is 24/7. Yeah. Is it XMP profiled to that?
XMP profiled to that. But the one thing that's interesting, I wouldn't quote me on this because I'm not specifically sure, but they actually showed these off at CES. And when talking with Corsair, the only motherboard that these would run on is Gigabyte's X99 SoC Champion, because a lot of motherboards just can't handle DDR that fast. Right. So what actually Corsair has done is they matched the heat spreaders or the cooler on the top of the memory with the orange on the Gigabyte X99 SoC Champion. They look great together, I feel.
It's a dead on match. Yeah, if you're gonna mod, this is like what you would color anyway. So
yeah,
one step done for you.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's matched on there, but that's the only kind of downfall of this kit is that it will only run on that motherboard.
Which is an awesome motherboard, but it's not a cheap motherboard either. Yeah. But then again, neither is this memory kit.
Yeah, this memory kit is $1,000. The 16 gig kit is $1,000. So, it's not cheap to run memory, you know, that comes in that high of timings. And I'm pretty sure all of the ICs are handpicked for these as well.
It have to be. Yeah. My biggest question is, are the DIMMs maxed out at 3400? Because I don't know. That's worth the money. If you can keep going, then
yeah, the
absolutely.
This kit was actually overclocked to their in-house modder actually, or their in-house overclocker actually overclocked these to over 4000.
Wow, that's super impressive.
You know, but again, this is kind of like a high-end product for overclockers, I feel, and for people who, you know, this isn't a typical memory kit. I mean, Corsair makes their Dominator Platinum DDR4, you know, in all of the other speeds as well. Exact same memory, except for it's lower clocked, and I don't feel on the lower-end kits that all of the ICs are hand-selected and all of that, so.
No, and if they're just lower bin. They're the ones that don't make it to these kits.
Yeah. So that is definitely a pretty cool memory kit if you have the money to buy it, for sure. talking about...
We can only drool.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to move into some Intel news. So it's come out that Intel will only be releasing 2 socketed Broadwell chips, which I only thought there was going to be one, to be honest. So, you know...
So you're pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not really excited.
You're not buying it, but...
I'm not super excited for these. You know, Broadwell is mainly a mobile product for the most part. It's not Haswell. It's, you know, so we've seen Broadwell on pretty much a ton of mobile products, all-in-one PCs. We've seen it in a ton of notebooks, you know.
Right. Yep.
And all of that. So a lot of people are wondering, okay, well, when's this going to come to the desktop, you know, because we want more, you know.
Yeah, it's a decently powerful chip.
Yeah, powerful and all of that. So Intel's kind of held off because a lot of people are still buying Haswell chips. I mean, they just, you know, they're not going anywhere. It's not like this new processor is much faster or better performing, really. So it's been released that they'll only be releasing 2 desktop chips. And those are the Core i7-5775C and the Core i5-5675C. These are both quad-core parts, 65-watt TDP. The higher-end i7 has a clock speed of 3.3 gigahertz, and it will boost up to 3.7. And then the lower-end i5... will have a clock speed of 3.1 gigahertz and boost up to 3.6 gigahertz. Both of these will have the Intel Iris Pro 6200 integrated graphics, and they're both unlocked chips as well. So I think
that's the most interesting thing to me is the better graphics.
So I think a lot of people will want to see what they can do with an unlocked chip with the graphics built in.
Yeah.
You know, because this could be something for, like, that Steam machine, if you wanted to do the integrated graphics, if you're playing kind of, you know, like, the Source 2 engine games and things like that, that could potentially run on this.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially with a decent overclock.
Yeah, too. So you can really push this. And I'm sure a lot of overclockers want to get their hands on this just to see how far they can push it.
Yep.
But this isn't going to be something that's going to replace Haswell. And we're not going to see a whole slew of new motherboards. These chips will run on the Intel 9 series boards. You know, Z97, H97 will run on. So it's not something that a lot of people are super excited about. Of course, everybody is waiting for Skylake, including you.
Yep.
You know.
This is just it's a little something for us in the meantime to think about.
Yeah, so... just kind of like Intel's kind of like, well, we don't, and the thing is they don't have a lot of competition through AMD to really push out anything crazy.
They're like competing with themselves.
Yeah. And it's like, they have this whole inventory of Haswell and the popularity of Haswell is still there. So it doesn't make sense for them to do a full refresh. I don't feel so.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So we'll move on from there and we'll move to Microsoft news, which we had a lot of last week for Windows 10.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, typically when we see a Windows launch, it we'll see it come out in October, I believe. And with this, we normally see Windows will have like a release to manufacturer, which means they'll ship the product to manufacturers in August, and then the official version will be released by October. But we know that won't happen now because Windows last week announced that Windows 10 will be shipping in the summer.
Just awesome.
And sources close to Microsoft have said that Windows 10 will be come out in July, and that's the full release will be available in July.
Nice.
So yeah, it means that we'll be getting Windows 10 a lot sooner than later. I expected late August, so July is
cool.
Great.
I don't know about you, Bob, but I always get whenever, like when Windows 8 was coming, even with all the bad news about it, it was like, I'm always like pretty hyped about an operating new operating system, because we all like think it's going to change things and just change the way we compute and stuff. How excited are you for Windows 10?
I think it's going to be a great change. I got to see Windows 8 before it came out, and I just was like, we're really doing this Metro thing? The Metro thing made sense for tablets, and I think that Microsoft really wanted to get into the tablet game, and they wanted to compete with Apple, you know, the iPad and all of that. And
yeah,
Windows 8 was like, okay, we're going to make everything touchscreen. This touchscreen thing is real. That's what people want, when real desktop users could not care less about touchscreen.
It was like a good, like, thought.
Yeah.
Terribly implemented. I don't know how it made it through like product testing. Too many people wanted it to happen. I think that
the higher ups at Microsoft really wanted to push for this all, you know. So I think Windows 10, from what I've seen so far, it seems like, you know, Microsoft has gone through a real big change in the past year or two, with a lot of people moving in positions and taking over certain things. And
yes.
So I think they're really listening to what the users want. Again, they're bringing back the start menu. They're doing different things. You're going to have different desktops, so you can, much like, I'm not really familiar with Mac OS X, but I'm pretty sure you can do it there, where you can have multiple desktops. And I know in Linux you can do that as well.
Yep.
So that's in there. I mean, there's just a lot of things that they've really trying to bring what users really want and make it so, you know, power desktop users like us don't feel like we're using some consumer product that's made to be dumbed down.
Give us the real thing. Windows 8 was just such a headache to use.
Yeah.
Please give me the functionality of Windows 7 in a new, you know, with all the new functions. That's what I'm hoping for. And DirectX 12.
Yes.
Should be awesome.
Yes, definitely. I'm pretty excited for Windows 10. I will probably upgrade when it comes out. I think I'm going to build a new system around that time too. So.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Right on. It'll be a fun time for computer users everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, there's going to be so much cool things will come with Windows 10. And I'm sure we'll have some articles up on Windows 10, whether it's a review or tips and tricks and all that kind of stuff. So definitely stay tuned for the website for that. Moving on to motherboard news. We didn't have a lot of super cool motherboard stuff like we had last week. But one thing that we've seen a lot of lately is USB 3.1. And if you don't know, USB 3.1 is the new USB specification. That is what that little port is on the new MacBook. That's USB 3.1. It's faster than USB 3.0. And so far, it was only limited to Intel motherboards. That's the only motherboards we saw with USB 3.1. So what MSI has done is they have announced the first AMD motherboard with USB 3.1. And that is their 970A SLI Crate Edition. AMD stuff is always behind, I feel, in the motherboard space.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But it's throwing them a bone, you know?
Yeah, so if you are a hardcore AMD user and you want that faster speed, MSI has that motherboard for you. You get two USB 3.1 ports, and they are the Type R port, which is the typical USB port. It's not the smaller A-type port that we've seen.
I think it's a good-looking board.
Yeah, it's a nice... Edition... MSI has a couple Crate Edition motherboards. They have Crate Edition graphics cards to match these. So the color design is black and white, and it looks really good. I'm not super excited about this motherboard per se, but
it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, I'm an Intel guy, so
yeah. Sorry, I mean it's got its place, and a lot of people. Oh, okay, some people really really like them, but. You know,
yeah, so it's good to see.
The holdouts
it's good
will like
to
it.
See. I feel for AMD users, it's good to see companies bringing features that we typically see on Intel boards and bringing it over to the AMD side, because AMD themselves aren't really doing much to bring these features to users, right? These features aren't part of the chipset, right? So good to see motherboard manufacturers trying to bring more features to the AMD crowd to give them just to give them these features. I mean, it's a great thing to see. And of course, this board is a good looking board and all of that. So,
Yeah, it'll sell.
yeah, it will definitely sell.
So.
So, moving on to some news that I'm sure you're excited about.
This is pretty cool, I think, actually, because I was all stoked on the Titan
Yeah,
X.
so what was it last week? Yeah, last week, NVIDIA
Yeah.
announced the GeForce GTX Titan X, which is their flagship highest end card out there. But it's been reported that not only will we see a Titan, or not only, we'll have the Titan X and we have the GTX 980, but there's also going to be a GTX 980 Ti,
Yeah.
which from reports said it's going to be more or less a Titan X with only 6 gigabytes of VRAM, but it's going to have a
Yeah.
10%, it's going to have a 10% higher clock.
So it's actually going to run faster.
Yeah, so that's pretty going to be like the ultimate
Yeah.
gaming card for
I
4K.
think you're right. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a full GM 200 silicon, so it's not like cut down. You're not getting a
Yeah.
bargain bin.
So
It might not be
far.
binned as well as the X, I guess.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, again, this is not a confirmed report, obviously.
But we can dream that and pretend that it
Yeah,
is.
but that's a cool thing to see, and I think why, because Nvidia, I don't feel Nvidia has to do this, but what I think they might do is that they're going to release this at Computex while AMD is releasing their 300 series.
Yeah.
And
Do you think it will come in at the same price
as what?
as the 300, as the 380X, 390X?
What is that price supposed to be?
I think they're saying 700.
Yeah, probably.
That would be pretty
Or
cool.
around that same price.
Yeah, because I think that's a good value.
Yeah, so I think that's what Nvidia is trying to do, which makes sense. And again, with 6 gigabytes of VRAM, you can still do 4K gaming. And of course, this chip has the horsepower to do that. So it's like I said, this summer, as far as Computex, is going to be awesome time, not only for graphics cards, but a ton of other things, cases, motherboards, everything. And that's just such a great show.
Yeah, maybe we should go.
Well, yeah, that would be
All
fun.
right, we probably
We
won't.
probably won't go, but we will be covering it. I will be sitting at my
Definitely.
computer literally all day, every day that week, putting up so much content. So we will have all that for you. For sure.
Awesome.
And then finally, we have some mobile news, which is kind of interesting, I feel, because I am an iPhone user.
You're gonna admit that?
Yeah. I
All
like my iPhone. I can't complain about it.
right. All right.
It's not like it's a horrible phone, I feel. I feel that compared to other phones,
It's probably a great phone.
it does what I need. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, I'm gonna be productive on my phone and write reviews and do word
Yeah.
processing or whatever. My phone
Yeah.
is like a phone, Instagram,
Yeah.
Tinder,
Movies.
yeah. Like whatever. I do check email sometimes, but not really.
No?
No.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if it's an important email, yeah. But I
Okay.
mean, email's on my phone, but it's not like if I need to, like, somebody's like, "Oh, this needs whatever," and I'll like email them back on the phone, but not typically. But
Okay.
anyways,
Yeah, I guess I do the same thing.
yeah, but so my phone's not like this crazy thing. It doesn't need to be this crazy thing. But so obviously this year Apple will be doing their refresh on their iPhone 6. So most people are expecting an iPhone 6s and an iPhone 6s Plus, but it's been reported that Apple may come out with an iPhone 6c. So we saw this in their 5 series.
Yeah.
We saw
I think I've seen more people with C's.
Yeah, so their 5c, it was kind of a cut down version, a less expensive version. A lot of people said they came out with that for, the developing countries and things like that. But I know a lot of people too that do have that, just because it was cheaper. And
Yeah,
again,
and
many people don't need that horsepower that, say, like a, at
yeah.
the time, like the 5s had, right?
Yeah, it's a hard sell to somebody that doesn't even understand what they're getting.
Yeah.
Plus, it came in more colors,
Yeah,
and
that's why I know.
that sells better than performance to that crowd, I would say.
Yeah, so they might be coming out with a 6C, and it's also been reported that it will be the smaller size. It won't be the larger screen. It'll be a 4-inch screen.
It won't be foldable.
It won't be foldable. But it won't be a 4-inch. I mean, it will be. It's supposed to be a 4-inch screen. So people who do like that smaller form factor, that say like on the 5 series, you're gonna possibly get that on this phone. So it'd be interesting to see what Apple does. I might upgrade to a 6S. I don't know. This year, who knows?
Yeah.
Hey, my phone still works. Like, when I the only reason I upgraded to like a 5S was because like I had a 4, like the original 4, and like to do things on it was like not fun. So I was like, it's just time to upgrade. So yeah. I mean I do like this the 6 and 6S. You're not gonna see huge performance upgrade on these. It would be mostly like camera improvements and some other things. Mm-hmm. And then the 7, which will come the next year, will be that big upgrade as far as performance and everything like that. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I know we don't cover mobile stuff that much, but it's good to, you know.
It's like it's everybody loves their phones though.
Yeah.
They're computers today now, so
basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So on to what we have coming up next week as far as reviews and content. Derek, not you, Derek, other Derek.
Nope.
We'll be taking a look at the Antech P70, which is another one of those sort of mid-range entry-level type cases from Antech. It will be the first Antech case that we've reviewed in a while.
And I feel like everybody has owned an Antech case at one point.
I think that was my first ever case, was an Antech case.
Me too, yeah.
But I saw this case at CES. I'm not super impressed by it.
No.
And I think that Antech really needs to take some cues from other companies that have come out with cases that have features in them that users want. And they're Antech, for the past, I don't know how many years, Antech has felt very dated as far as a lot of their...
Yeah, just the design in general.
Yeah, the design in general and certain things. It's just, I don't know who's designing their cases or whatever, but it's like they haven't like left like the early 2000s or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep, I agree.
So we would love to see a great Antech case. We'll see what Derek thinks about it, and all of that. So so we'll have that coming up.
Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think it will be.
Low hopes, but
yeah, for sure. I will be doing some gaming reviews next week, so that allows me to play some games.
What are you going to play?
Probably Payday and City Skylines.
And rob some banks and build some cities.
I know. It's like, I wish I could build a city and then rob it, but...
dude, what if you could do that in Skylines?
That'd be cool. That'd be like a mission or like an add-on or something.
Yeah. We might have just... we should probably sell that.
I know. We should just copyright that right now. So I'll be taking a look at the TT Esports Black V2... Laser gaming mouse. Of course, is the version 2 of their black gaming mouse. Has a 5700 DPI sensor, laser sensor. It's a Vago laser sensor. It's not, you know, it's a typical gaming mouse. It's not a big claw mouse or anything like that. Be interesting to check that out for sure. They've kind of redesigned it a little bit, so.
Looks like a decent FPS.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good FPS mouse. So I'll be playing a lot of Payday 2, robbing banks and killing people. I might play. I might get Battlefield, the new Battlefield.
You think you're gonna do it right away?
I don't know. Something to do.
I have such a bad taste in my mouth from the last one.
I liked Battlefield 4. I'll let you get it. I liked it.
Yeah. Did you get to play it?
Yeah.
What? I couldn't play it for a really long time. Get a computer. I feel that it was the game.
I know.
Me and thousands of other people.
Yeah, I had no problems playing it. Like, I got it, I think I got it as soon as it came out.
Oh.
And I had no issues. What was your issue?
I couldn't connect. It would load, or I'd connect and I'd get disconnected, like, all the time.
I never had that issue.
Yeah.
Who's your internet provider?
Comcast.
That's interesting, then, because I have Comcast. And I'm not even, like... I'm not on super fast Comcast. Like, I'm on, like, the basic, like, I think it's, like
12?
No, I mean, it's, like, just, like, lower than that. I think I get, like...
Really?
I think I get, like, 4 down and, like, 1.5 up or something.
Oh, wow, because I think when Battlefield 4 came out, I was on 80 down.
Holy shit.
or 100.
Yeah, no, I have like basic, like you would think like me, like what, like running a tech site, like I just, but I really don't need that, and I don't play games that much, and I do stream, like I have like NHL Game Center Live, which I stream, but I don't have an issue streaming that, so.
Yeah, and like you don't have anything else hogging your resources,
Yeah, I
so
live by
it's
myself, so.
yeah, it's probably
I
not
live
necessary.
a sad and lonely life.
Oh,
You guys are
Buck.
my only friends.
Oh,
But moving back into what we're checking and look at, I'm taking a look at a gaming keyboard, so I have a new gaming keyboard and new gaming mouse to take a look at. The keyboard is from a company called Tessoro,
Ooh, I like that.
and they're very popular over in Europe. They're not as known here, so they contacted us and they wanted to us to review one of their keyboards. So
Yeah.
this is their Excalibur Spectrum mechanical keyboard, and it is it doesn't use it use mechanical switches, but it uses the, I don't know how you say, Caelith switches, which have been pretty
Yeah.
popular. We've seen them in TT Esports products,
Okay.
and a couple other ones. TT Esports calls them their own switches, but they're actually made by this company. So I mean, I actually have the box here. I'm not sure which, if it says on the box what. Okay, it just doesn't tell me on the box. Oh wait, here we go. These are blue switches. So the Caelith blue
Okay.
switches are, says, a casual player's or a fanatic typist choice. So these are much like the Cherry MX blues, I would
Yeah, it sounds
guess.
like it.
So they're a great combination of both typing and gaming, which I like. I'm actually using the Cougar 600K right now, which I reviewed last week. Which
Right.
I've kept to use because I do like the Cherry MX Blues because I do a lot of typing as well as gaming.
Yeah.
But this keyboard is a RGB keyboard, so as far as the light, the backlighting on the keyboard, any color you want, you can, I believe each key is individually backlit, so you can do a lot of cool stuff with that.
Yeah, it looks like it.
It seems to be like it's a solid keyboard as well. So, for gaming, you want that solid feel. You're jamming the keys.
Yeah. It looks like it like the like you don't have macros or anything. It's a no frills hardcore. This is gonna last you 20 years of solid gaming.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to definitely check that out, and see what it's
Yeah.
all about. Because
Definitely looking forward to your
I've never
review.
reviewed a Tessoro product. I've seen great reviews of their products, but I've never reviewed one. I've never had my hands on a keyboard, and I haven't opened it yet. I'll be opening it later today, I feel, to check
Nice.
out. So definitely check out that. That will be coming next week, and I might do another review. But I have too much stuff here to really. I didn't really see what else I wanted to review. Probably a CPU cooler, I'm guessing.
Right.
But we'll see. I have literally boxes of things here that need to be reviewed.
Get to
I
work.
know I need to get to work. But also next week, we will be doing our worst PC setup, which is my favorite article of each month.
Nice.
And that's where we cover the, we go out and we find people who just have horrible PC setups, just like it's just bad, I'm
Yeah.
sure.
Oh, they're terrible. I don't know how these people function in them, honestly. It's disgusting sometimes.
Yeah, it's just, I'm sure some people have gone through where they've been moving and they've had this temporary setup, but some people are just disgusting people, and they decide to take a picture of their disgusting PC setup. And
Yeah.
yeah, so we'll have that on the site next week, and that is,
Looking forward to that
man,
as
yeah,
usual.
that'll be a very good article, I feel, this month. So
Nice.
definitely look forward to that, and that is basically it for our podcast this week. Not a lot of news this week. Hopefully we'll have some, have some more interesting news next week. And as always, you can find everything that we talked about in this episode on the podcast page. We have a full listing of everything and links to everything that we talked about. Also, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can either search Think Computers, or we would, on the podcast page, we have a link where you can easily subscribe. So, until next week, we'll definitely catch you guys later. Anything else you want to say there, Derek?
No, thanks for having me. Look forward to next
All
week.
right, we'll catch you guys later.